Sunday Tama Talk.
Happy day, listeners. We bring you again our most esteemed Venerable Dr. Pratyajan Wisit with his inspirational Sunday Tama Talk teachings. Dr. Pratyajan Wisit is one of Thailand's most eminent meditation masters, Buddhist scholars, and educators, with honorary doctorates from both Mahachulalongkorn Rajavidyalaya University and the Mahamudgal University. Dr. Pratyajan Wisit is National Coordinator of the Provincial Meditation Institutes of Thailand and the highly respected abbot of Wat Mongpaso Thammakayaran in Dumnan Saduk District, Ratpuri Province, Thailand. I'm Prat Kru Baidikawa Dr. Barton Yanati Roe from the United States, and I will serve as your interviewer. Good morning, revered Venerable Dr. Pratyajan Wisit. This will be our 39th consecutive broadcast. We eagerly await more of your motivating insights. First, however, could you please review briefly our previous talk?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Last time we explained the Asanha Pucha holiday as the birthday of Buddhism. It commemorates three key events: presentation of the first sermon, ordination of the first bhikkhu, and completion of the threefold triple gem by adding the Sangha to the Buddha and the Dhamma. Lord Buddha's first sermon is called the Dhammacakka or Dhamma Wheel because of its key role in the history of the world. Its primary emphasis, however, is on the Dhammacakku or Dhamma Eye, which is cited repeatedly in the refrain as the first step to enlightenment. After attaining enlightenment, Lord Buddha spent 7 weeks experiencing bliss and contemplating next steps. His primary consideration was whether or not anyone else could comprehend the profound truths that he had uncovered. Finally, he decided to teach the five ascetics. Upon hearing Lord Buddha's sermon, Elder Gondanya attained the dustless, stainless Dhamma eye and requested ordination. This was the birthday of Buddhism as a religion.
Thank you very much, Venerable Dr. Pratyajan Wisit. Now, what will we discuss this time?
Today's topic is succinctly life and death. We will summarize briefly the nature of life, the purpose of life, and the way to achieve a successful life with maximum ultimate meaning and peaceful happiness. Let us begin with Lord Buddha's last word as he passed on to Parinibbana, that Handadani Bhikkhave Amantaya Mivo Bhikkhave Pativetaya Mivo Kaya Vayatama Sankhara Apamathena Sampa Tedati. Monks, I have assembled you for this last time to warn you all that compound phenomena have eventual total dissolution inherent in their nature. You must each bring your personal benefit and usefulness for others to ripen on time with care. Don't be careless. Lord Buddha pinpoints our own essential nature and the nature of the world around us, both living beings and inanimate objects, as sankhara or compound phenomena composed of parts. This final message is that all such compound phenomena inevitably disintegrate. We are all destined to die. We must therefore assiduously attend to accomplishing the maximum that we can during this lifetime, both for our own personal development and as our contribution for helping others. In brief, don't be careless. As compound phenomena, world beings, including human beings, are characterized by the three universal characteristics of all compound phenomena: impermanence or anicchang, suffering or dukkhang, and non-self or anatta. Human beings are impermanent because they just arise, exist for a time, changing continually in accordance with their conditions, and then perish. They can never remain in one state very long. In fact, with meditation, one can see that the mind changes many times every millisecond. It is extremely unstable. This underlines the statement that all compound phenomena are impermanent. Similarly, human beings are suffering because nothing in any world, whether living or non-living, endures forever. Thus, anyone who becomes attached to self or to any worldly object with craving and wrong will inevitably suffer. This includes both eventual suffering upon death and continual suffering throughout life as conditions change. Ultimately, all world beings and all worldly objects are non-self, without any eternal soul, solid core, or permanent happiness. This is inherently evident in the short human lifespan, but it can also be observed that the world beings, including humans, are far from eternal happiness and from being the sturdy, dependable help expected of true self. From another perspective, we cannot control our own body and life totally as we would like. For example, we cannot order our body not to grow old, not to get sick, or not to die. And we cannot obtain everything that we want or need. Thus, this mind-body nama-rupa is non-self.
Excuse me, Venerable Sir. Are impermanence, suffering, and non-self the only important characteristics of life?
No. They only define the overall context. The most important aspect of human life is defined by the law of karma. Do good, get good. Do evil, get evil. Worldly beings, including human beings, have three types of essential characteristics. The first are the causes, conditions, and components that create them. All beings arise and continue to exist dependent on these causes, conditions, and components. As an example, human beings consist of body or rupa and mind or nama, which must both be present. Further, mind consists of four aggregates, feeling or vedana, memory or sanya, thought or sankhara, and consciousness or vijnana, which must all be present. This, in turn, are supported by many factors detailed in the dependent origination, paticca-samuppada, which ultimately rests on ignorance of transcendental knowledge or vichara. This ignorance underlines the three roots of defilements, greed or lobha, hatred or dosa, and delusion or moha, and gives rise to both birthplace or pop and birth or chati, which are rupa dhamma and nama dhamma, and cause both body and living mentality. This is what world beings call self and others. They are created constructs and lead to old age, death, suffering, and grieving. The second type of the essential characteristics of all world beings, including human beings, are the factors which sustain life on a daily basis, such as breath or asasa and pasasa. Nutrition and medicine, also included here, are factors required to support thought, speech, and bodily action. Finally, the third and most essential type of human characteristics are the intentions chetana, which underline mentality, nama dhamma, and the construction of thinking, speaking, and acting, whether wholesome, neutral, or unwholesome. Wholesome intention construction, punya pi sankhan, brings happiness and development of sensual realm and pure form beings, and can lead to rebirth in the pure form realm. Neutral construction, anicca pi sankhara, is neutral regarding the formless realm and can lead to rebirth in formless states, lasting a long time, or in the pure land realm. Unwholesome construction, apunya pi sankhara, brings suffering both in this lifetime and in future rebirths. Intentions are where the law of karma is built, directly inside each one of us. When we act morally based on the wholesome construction, punya pi sankhara, we immediately feel good and also reap future rewards. When we behave improperly based on unwholesome construction, apunya pi sankhara, we immediately feel ill, at ease, and also bring ourselves future difficulties, both in this lifetime and in future rebirths.
Thank you very, very much, Venerable Dr. Pratrajan Wisit. Now, sir, could you please tell us what is the purpose of life?
Life is essentially a moral playing field in which we are all challenged to develop ourselves and to help others as much as possible. Lord Buddha's exhortation for leading a good life is very simple. Avoid evil, sappapapaccha akaranang, do good or kusala sampatha, and purify the mind, sacitta pariyotapanang. As we have seen, the law of karma is actually built into each one of us so that wholesome mental states, which accompany good intentions to help others, also bring immediate personal happiness and good karmic results in the future. Thus, instead of facing a zero-sum game in which one must choose between personal gain and sacrificing to help others, the wise man sees that helping ourselves and also others to avoid evil, do good, and purify the mind will always lead to inner peaceful happiness and good future results. The noteworthy exhortation is purify the mind. All religious teach avoid evil and do good, but Lord Buddha adds, purify the mind to see clearly what is good and what is evil. Meditation is the added jewel in Buddhism. It enables one to see for oneself. It is what makes the Buddha's teachings scientific.
Thank you very much again, Venerable Dr. Pratrajan Wisit, for your brilliant insights. Now, could you please tell us how to win the game of life?
If life is viewed as a game, it must be played by the law of karma. Winning would mean living most profitably for yourself, both in terms of immediate rewards and future benefits. This involves both self-development and providing assistance to others. Benefits can be tracked. The score along five dimensions. Number one, wealth versus poverty. Number two, high status versus low status. Number three, praise versus blame. Number four, temporary worldly happiness versus suffering. Number five, ultimate release and permanent supreme happiness versus worldly rebirth into suffering. This list includes both the immediate rewards recognized and treasured by most human beings and the ultimate reward recognized by bandit. One score on the last scale is called merit. All scores rise or fall readily based on one's behavior as well as changing conditions. Most people behave with a mixture of wholesome and wrong actions. So these scores fluctuate up and down continually. To win the game of life, we need to know and practice 10 restraints and also avoid a highway to hell that leads directly to rapid disaster. The highway to hell is bar hopping that integrates multiple defilements such as drunken, sexual, and gambling misbehavior. The 10 restraints are: avoid, number 1, 3 physical actions, killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. Number 2, 4 verbal actions, lying, slander, coarse speech, and gossip. Number 3 mental actions, thought based on greed, hatred, and delusion. Practicing these 10 restraints regularly will purify the heart and mind, leaving one ready for death whenever it knocks on the door. As we began, Hantatani Bhikkhave Amantaya Mivo Bhikkhave Pativetaya Mivo Bhikkhave Kaya Vaya Thamma Sankhara Appama Tena Sambade Thati. Monks, I have assembled you for this last time to warn you all that compound phenomena have eventual total dissolution inherent in their nature. You must each bring your personal benefit and useful for others to ripen on time with care. Don't be careless. One who practices Samatha Vipassana meditation and practices mindfulness of death sees death as normal. This is knowing impermanence, suffering, and non-self. Recognizing that everyone must die like this, we must not be careless while we still have life. We must diligently store up doing good. Any good that we have not yet done, we must hurry to do. This is thinking about death or contemplating death. One does not look at death like one lacking wisdom. Those who practice Maranasati will not fear death. Hurry to do good, as in the proverb, think of death contentedly. It cuts attachment and worries. It limits darkness and delusion. It makes one brave enough to disappear, to realize suddenly without entanglement. In conclusion, thinking about impermanence, suffering, and non-self not only makes us careful, but also pushes us to vipassana, looking inward to understand the 3 characteristics and develop otherworldly wisdom to penetrate the 4 noble truths, ultimately knowing, giving up, letting go, and having a mind free from attachment. This will make that life able to be lived comfortably with the heart lighter and peacefully happy. This is a life led with right wisdom and will find progress and peaceful happiness.
Thank you very, very much, exceptionally venerable Dr. Pratrajan Wisit. Now can you please lead us for a few moments of meditation?
Let us begin by requesting the 5 precepts.
Mayang pante wising wisung rakanataya de saranena saha banja silani yajama tutiyambi mayang pante wisung wisung rakanataya de saranena saha banja silani yajama datiyambi mayang pante wisung wisung rakanataya de saranena saha banja silani yajama.
Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa. Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa. Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa.
Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa. Namo tatsa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhatsa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa.
Puttang saranang kacchami.
Puttang saranang kacchami.
Dhammang saranang kacchami.
Dhammang saranang kacchami.
Sanghang saranang kacchami.
Sanghang saranang kacchami.
Tutiyampi puttang saranang kacchami.
Tutiyampi buddhang saranang kacchami.
Tutiyampi dhammang saranang kacchami.
Tutiyampi dhammang saranang kacchami.
Tutiyampi sanghang saranang kacchami.
Tutiyampi sanghang saranang kacchami.
Tatiyampi buddhang saranang kacchami.
Tatiyampi buddhang saranang kacchami.
Tatiyampi dhammang saranang kacchami.
Tatiyampi dhammang saranang kacchami.
Tatiyampi sanghang saranang kacchami.
Tatiyampi dhammang saranang kacchami.
Tatiyampi sanghang saranang kacchami.
Tatiyampi sanghang saranang kacchami.
Panatipata veramani sikha padang samadhiyami.
Panatipata veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from destroying living creatures.
Atinatana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami.
Atinatana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from taking that which is not given.
Kamesu micchācāra veramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi.
Kamesu micchācāra veramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. I undertake the precept to refrain from unlawful sexual activity.
Musavata veramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi.
Musavata veramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. I undertake the precept to refrain from incorrect speech.
Sura meraya macchappamātathāna veramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi.
Sura meraya macchappamātathāna veramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. I undertake the precept to refrain from intoxicating drinks and drugs which lead to carelessness.
Imani pañca sikkhāpadāni sīlena sukhatiṃ yanti.
Sātu.
Sīlena bhogasampadā.
Sātu.
Sīlena nibbuddhiṃ yanti. Tatsamā sīlaṃ visotthaye.
Sātu.
Prostrate three times to the Buddha statue, if available. Now, we begin meditation. We sit upright in a regular meditation posture, cross-legged, as seen in some Buddha images, with the right leg resting upon the left, the right hand rests on the left, palm turned upwards, with the right index finger just touching the left thumb. The body is straight, and the mind is fully alert. Take a deep breath and relax the body until you feel comfortable. Close your eyelids lightly. Do not press them. We use two aids, a mantra, Samma Arahant, and an object of visualization, a bright, clear, luminous sphere called the Aloka Kasinya, or light object. Using these aids, we draw the mind inward to the center of the body, and the mind components of vision, memory, thought, and awareness come together into oneness. Imagine a bright, clear, luminous sphere located at the center of the body, 2 inches or 5 centimeters above the navel. Rest your mind inside the sphere and repeat Samma Arahant, Samma Arahant, Samma Arahant continually and mindfully. Look for the pinpoint of the bright light at the center of the center. Focus your mind there, stop still. When the mind stops peacefully, still at the center of the center expands itself and becomes a new sphere. Place your mind gently inside the new sphere. Look for the pinpoint of the bright light at the center of the center. Place your mind there. Stop still. Eventually, a bright, clear sphere will arise. This is the Dhamma sphere. Do not be overjoyed. Keep your mind calm in equanimity. Hold the mind still and stop repeating Samma Arahang. Just concentrate at the center of the Dhamma sphere. This is your own nucleus which gives rise to this body and this mind. You choose experience greatest happiness you have ever known, not happiness based on an external object, but happiness arising from within due to being fully pure from the five hindrances. Now, let us take a moment to apply our calm concentration to contemplating the body as it really is. Take one hair from the top of your head. Bring it in to the center of the sphere at the center of the body. Examine it as if under a microscope. See the root of the hair. See how dirty they are, all covered with grease. Can you smell it? This is the real nature of the hair that we fuss over and prize so much. From now on, let us contemplate to see that the hair is subject to change, for example, from black to gray, which means anicchang, and then it falls out, becomes impermanent, and causes suffering or dukkhang. Finally, it scatters and no longer belongs to you or anybody else, anatta. Practice contemplating this back and forth to create the right wisdom that all compound things such as hair on the head and hair on the body, finger and toenails, the teeth in the mouth, and skin are all impure, subject to change or anicchang, impermanent to come, and ultimately become non-self or anatta. This is an efficient method to develop the right wisdom to see compound things as they really are. This right wisdom helps to reduce sensual desire and attachment. Continue meditating as before by stopping still at the center of the center of the Dhamma sphere. When the concentration is just right, sphere after sphere pops up by itself from the center, each one inside the previous one. The spheres of sila or moral behavior, samadhi or concentration, panya or wisdom, vimutti or transcendence, and vimuttijana tassana or insight, appear one after the next. Enter each sphere successively and focus your mind still at the pinpoint of bright light or hollow spot at the center. When the mind stops still, a new sphere emerges. When you reach the inside sphere, you continue in the same way, stopping still at the center. Again, the center expands itself, but this time, instead of a new sphere, you see your own refined human body, sitting cross-legged in meditation position, facing the same direction as you are facing. Don't be startled. Just keep observing. It looks very much like yourself. It has your own face, but it is brighter, purer, and more radiant. It may even be crystal clear. Take your time to make the body and its pedestal bright and clear. When you feel comfortable with the refined human body, place your mind gently inside the refined human body. Expand to feel the whole body. Feel the body from the inside. Feel the arms, feel the legs, feel the head, feel the toes. Say to yourself, I am the refined human body. I have become the refined human body. I have the refined human mentality. When you feel comfortable inside the refined human body, place your mind gently inside the sphere at the center of the refined human body. focus on the pinpoint of the bright light at the center of the center. The center expands itself, and you see your celestial body. For those who reach this state of mind, go on with the same procedure. As larger and larger, more and more radiant, bodies appear, become each more refined body, one by one, until you reach Dhammakaya. Dhammakaya looks like a transparent Buddha statue, very radiant, very pure. The Buddha statue, sitting cross-legged, is about 9 meters in height and width. Become Dhammakaya fully, right way. And now let us share all of the merits that we have made in this meditation and previously, together with all of our loving kindness, with all beings everywhere throughout the universe. We share with our parents, our grandparents, our family, our teachers and our friends. We share with our king and our queen and the whole royal family. May Lord Buddha bless all of us to lead a peacefully happy life, free from suffering, free from problems, and free from enmity. And may this meditation help to bring us closer to transcendence and nirvana. And now we come slowly out of meditation and open the eyes.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pratrajan Wisit. We reverently appreciate your excellent meditation instruction.
May Lord Buddha bless all of you. We would like to invite you all to join us for meditation at Wat Luang Phasut any Sunday. Our bus leaves from Watsakit, the Golden Mount Temple, at 7 o'clock every Sunday morning. I lead morning chanting and meditation for all, beginning at 9:30, and Prabhat conducts an afternoon meditation session in English from 12 to 2 p.m. Please come join us. For details, please see our English website at www.meditationpark.org and www.dhammacenter.org or our Thai website at dhammakaya.org.
Sunday Tama Talk.